Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Welcome back to the Challenge Double Agents Wrap-Up Podcast for episode 18. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Alistair. Allie, how are you?
Visualize this, Brian. Visualize my white clown makeup, my big red nose. What clowns we were to know that a two-part final was in front of us and all the signs were there. And we were just like, nope, getting hyped for the resolution that, alas, would not come.
It's like this is the first time we're doing the show. I saw the guide. I was like, oh, it's an hour final. That's a quick final. That seems odd. I was like, oh my God. What are we talking? It's two parts. Of course it is. It might be three parts. Who knows? The fact that we thought it was one. Oh my God.
Well, we knew coming into the season, didn't we say it was 18 episodes? And we just like...
No, even worse. We said 19. We said 19 episodes.
So it counts the reunion. like that's... So,
yeah.
Clown, honk, honk, baby. We're clowns. Like street clowns. Yeah.
So bad. But yeah, two-part final. Got an hour this week. 90 minutes next week. In case you don't realize, we're doing this Wednesday night, so there is no Challenge All-Stars episode unless we talk for 2 hours and we can just watch the episode live, which was broached by you as a choice.
That was called a joke, but Brian famously wrote, I don't know if you're joking, and I left him on red. So
you did. That's why I bring it up right now.
I want to know, because you're still not sure.
Still not sure.
I want to know if the energy we put out there for Leroy and Nani, and honestly, shout out to the listeners, the collective energy that was brewing mostly positively was awesome. How did that affect your viewing of this episode?
I was nervous when the episode started. When they were like gearing up for the final, I'm like, Nani, stop, put the champagne away. You can drink after. There's no need to drink tonight. Just give it a rest. I was nervous going in. I was nervous.
See, for sheer like force of will, I never had a doubt that... I guess we still don't know, right? And Leroy and Nani could be eliminated next episode, but all episode as they were in last place, I just did not feel, I did not allow myself to feel the possibility that we would be here in clown makeup for two reasons and that Nani and Leroy would be gone. Like I couldn't physically allow that thought in my body, and credit to the collective prayer circle we've all done over the last week.
Yeah, I think that prayer circle allowed Casey to hit the rock and not Nani, because if they were the ones that were out, I don't know how we'd be doing this podcast right now.
You are also about to be held accountable for something. Did you browse the question thread?
I didn't.
Okay, so you are about to be held accountable for something. This is my new favorite segment.
And I think I know where this is going, and I'm worried, but continue.
Do you?
I know. I don't want to say.
Tell on yourself. Tell on yourself. Tell on yourself if there's something else we should confront you about.
Okay. Well, I don't. Okay. Well, all right. Whatever. You remember like 4 years ago? I think it was four seasons ago. I made a bet with myself about something that could happen.
Oh, that is what this is about. Oh my God, you have to repent for your sins, Brian. Confess to the world what you've done. And that's the energy that's saddling us down.
Yeah, I bet to the world. I don't think there was another side to this, if I'm not mistaken, which just adds to the stupidity.
Do you think I'm dumb enough to add something to the side of it?
Of course not. I very much got lawyered.
I don't think I did anything.
I think I just said if Leroy wins a season, I would shave my head. Is that what went down at what point during these hours of podcast that I'm doing with you?
What made you think of that? Have you been worried about this all season?
No, either. I think someone tweeted to me like a few weeks ago and I kind of forgot about it because I still didn't think it was possible. And then as we were doing our prayer circle, something in like my back of my head was like, wait, I feel like I don't want this to happen. And then I remembered it. And then I was like, oh boy, this could be bad. Hopefully no one else sees it. I don't have to bring it up.
Something in the back of your head. You mean like on the back of your head, like your exactly. hair that you currently have?
Exactly.
Sophie Hovis, yeah, said in one of the world, were the world's two ? Podcast, Brian agreed to shave his head if Leroy won a challenge. I vaguely remember pushing you to commit to that and then being like, I didn't exchange anything. I'm not quite sure. Does he/do you, Brian, intend to honor that bet?
See, there's no good answer here because if I say no, and then Leroy doesn't win, I'll be blamed for the loss. And if I say no and he wins, then people will be so bad that I won't just do it. And if I say yes, I guess the best case scenario here is I say yes and he doesn't win. I'm like, oh, well, see, it wasn't my fault. But I can't even put that into the universe because we're only positive vibes only. I know. But so, I mean, I'll get a haircut.
Okay. There's only one right answer. The answer is yes. A bet. You're from Long Island. Like, we'll roll you.
What does Long Island have to do with
it? Like, you know, people care about their betting there. I don't know. Jersey Association. Like, you can't just welch on a bet. And, but you have to commit and you have to, like, still believe and want it. It's like when Rob Cesternino shaved his head if he won the podcast award. Like, you can't agree to shave your head and then root against Leroy. That's sacrilege. Then all your hair will fall out from karma on its own.
Okay, I believe in Leroy. I believe in Leroy. That's my stance.
I mean, do I have to play the clip of Leroy talking to Fessy when he won't eat the food? Like,
if you could pull that right now, no that would be heart. Very
I don't want to say what he said, but like, I would play that clip right now if I could jump in from the editing room.
Hey, I would do it if you could convince my wife that it's okay.
Yeah. Do you want to be married to a welcher on the better? I don't even know what that means. I hope that's not offensive. Like, do you want to be married to someone who makes a bet 4 years ago on a podcast about MTV? Then she stops right there. Is like, I don't want to be married to someone who podcasts about MTV.
Well, I got cats out of the bar there. I feel like that's the wrong expression, too.
Do you know how many people have come forward and said their wives and fiancés like don't know that they listened to the challenge or NGOG? And I was like, should I not be being myself out in the world? Anyway, look, I'm not going to twist your arm, but seems like you're ready to go out like Fessy at the end of this episode.
No, I'll honor. I believe in Leroy, and I will do what is necessary if Leroy gets this done next week.
What's necessary?
What is necessary? I will.
I'm texting your wife. Go ahead. I'm gonna slide into her DMs right now.
No, Oh boy. Yeah, I will honor the bet if Leroy.
No, but no haircut, no funny business. You won't get credit for honoring it. And I feel like you're only saying this because deep down you don't believe. But I'll believe enough for both of us. I'll move on. But I am sliding into your wife's DMs right now to seek approval.
She's going to come storming in here and be like, what on earth are you talking about right now?
I'll be like, just pretend you're on my side. Just like pretend, even though if it's bullshit. I'm too old. I can't figure out how to send a message. Okay, it said message. Anyway, not much to talk about this episode, despite the 8 minutes of head shaving we just talked about.
No, I mean, they just kind of set it up. Everyone's playing for either their family or themselves, the money, the title. But pretty even. I mean, we kind of set this up last week where it's four pretty even teams and you can kind of go into it going any different direction who might have the edge.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even appear even. It seems like a bloodbath, for lack of a better term, in favor of Amber B and CT, which Johnny Langan has been on that Amber B's winning the challenge tip for a very long time, and I just dismissed him. So again, I'll show up and eat crow. Like, I underestimated her. She performed like an absolute beast in this entire final.
Yeah, I think I ranked them as a clear four, which was a very stupid decision last week based on how the first part of this final has gone. They've been great. CT's been great. Amber's been even better. They've been a powerhouse.
Sorry, I have the text written out. Okay, totally random, but Brian made a bet, parentheses, with no one, 4 years ago, that he would shave his head if Leroy won a challenge, .. eyes, haircut emoji. And then, like, what's, like, an is that okay emoji? Like, is there a man's haircut emoji? I've never used that.
Is there a female haircut emoji?
Yeah, there's, like, scissors going through hair, long hair. This is riveting content, but people haven't heard my emojis in a while. Maybe people are into this.
There was a question last week I didn't get a chance to read that someone just said they wanted you just to read emojis.
Well, your wish is our command in Brian's nightmare. For as many emojis as I read, I am terrible at finding them. All right, here we go. Here we go. I'm going through the superhero emoji, fairy emoji, girl being like, what emoji? Here we go, haircut. Oh, there we go. Nice blonde little man with a haircut. And then what do you think is an emoji that's like, please, should I do like a mother son? Is that like, is that like permission? oh, I'll go with the question mark, the like emoji version of the question mark, which I honestly have no idea why it's there, but I am going to make my maiden use of it here live on the podcast. The exclamation point question mark. All right. Sent. Okay. What were we talking about? Amber B.
Amber B.
But let's talk about the structure of this, right? Because I'm sure we both are showing up with complaints, I assume. Maybe not.
Not a lot right now. I don't have a lot of complaints right now.
But we have an instant response. She said, what in all caps? Only a 1 in 4 chance, but...
Well, that's probably not 1 in 3.
Lower your voice. All right. Okay, she's typing and then I'll stop the bit, but this, I'm enjoying myself. So if you can't... She goes, but I'm rooting for Leroy. I mean, you picked a good one, Ryan. You already knew that, but now I'm really sure. Let's see. One more text.
Yeah, as we were watching, she said, was like, everyone's rooting for Leroy, right?
She said, which suggests that she has accepted it and it's fine. So. I'm interpreting that.
I got to be honest. I was expecting much more for my side of this, and it's not, that did not go well for me at all.
What? But I'm rooting for Leroy, which is a beautiful acceptance. She went through shock, like denial, and then acceptance. Well, I love him no matter what. Plainview Sue, I think you'll hear her scream from South Carolina. Laugh cry emoji. Absolutely fantastic. Thank you, Emily, for your participation and permission. Yeah,
that went very poorly.
I'll talk to your mom too, but I'll do that off air. Okay. Oh, it's so funny. Okay, now we really, all my candles, my apartment's gonna burn down, God forbid, from all the candles I'm gonna be lighting. Okay, said you have no complaints about the format.
No big complaints, I don't think so yet. Maybe if you pop one up, I will agree, but I don't have any strong negatives.
I mean, I love that for you. Like, I let you just, like, my issue is, and maybe the answer is yes. Did this feel like a final to you?
Did it not feel like as majestic? Is that like the, it didn't feel grand? Like what didn't
you
feel?
You don't have to feel like it didn't. You could say, yes, it did. But like, I'm just, yeah.
It's tough to like get the full scale of it, right? Because we still don't know the larger part of it. But at least for the first part, this felt very final-esque to me.
Yeah, so I mean, I like, we're, for the new viewers, like, this is not new, the sort of stop startness of it. But I have a couple of clarifying questions. One, my impression seemed to be like, once a team's eliminated, like the first round is just survive, and then all three teams will be on an even playing field after the elimination. Is that wrong?
That's how I viewed it too, and honestly, I'm fine with that.
Well, I'm fine with that because it benefits the shaved head brigade. But
right.
But I'm not fine with it from just like, I mean, I'm fine with everything. The rules don't matter. But if like from a viewer, I want to see things that matter. And I almost feel like why this is really just an extended daily with a purge at the end, like who loses. And that's fine. But I think it looks really difficult. Like, I actually did think it looked like majestic and the terrain was like really difficult. But it was essentially people running mostly together, arriving mostly together, doing checkpoints mostly together. And then Casey has this injury. But I don't think without Casey's injury, there's like much intrigue going into the next episode at all.
It was just interesting how close they all were running. I mean, it was 3 miles, I think it was. The fact that they were all so close, I think that more just speaks to the evenness of the teams than necessarily the form structure of this. The fact that they were all so close, because you would think over 3 miles there should be some gaps, but they seemingly finished all pretty close together. And even like every checkpoint along the way, they all were pretty close. I think that more just speaks to the teams than any knock against the structure.
Well, I mean, but then I think, like, I don't work for TV. Like, then you have to accommodate that so that it doesn't look like everyone's holding the rope arriving together and the times don't matter, right? Like, I didn't have excitement of, like, who was who. And, like, even they're saying, like, Fessy's, like, edging us out. Like, for what, right? There was no purpose to even being out in front. You could do something we've seen where it's, like, you have to go to all the checkpoints, but not necessarily in the same order. And in that case, it's hard to know who's in the lead, but at least that's like some intrigue. I'm sure I'd complain about that too. I don't know. It just didn't. I enjoyed myself. I'm excited for the finale. It was a nice drum roll into the last episode, but I don't feel for any new viewers that this was like, oh yeah, this is how it always feels at the beginning of a challenge, particularly. And let's talk about this because there was an option to switch and an option for an elimination. That I was hoping for. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, so they brought, obviously at the end we see they brought the option to switch, and I'm glad there isn't just, like, to me, I'm glad there isn't just a straight elimination. I like that it's a long, almost a long elimination, and like you can get yourself advantages through the time to help you avoid the loss, but I'm glad this is basically one long elimination. I like that better if you're going to eliminate people along the way.
Yeah, when I definitely have been unhappy with other eliminations. This feels at least some sort of like, quote, fair way, variety of opportunities to like make up time. I didn't love I liked that they had sort of a challenge. I would have rather it been a team challenge, but then I understood why, because they needed just one overall. But I, you know, yeah, in terms of the one Amber one, but then also like, are we really spending so much time? I'm being so negative. I had fun watching it, but like, are we really spending so much time in a challenge we've already seen them do that's really most visually effective when there are more people? Like, it was better the first time.
It was. I did like that. I like the callback going back to the first one. I did like that. I like that synergy that shows try to do. So I appreciated that. And I did like that there was, I mean, you did see some strategy where you saw, like, say, CT and Fessy were, like, battling it out for the thing where I thought that could have given Leroy a bit of an edge. It obviously didn't. But I liked there was that aspect to it. And I liked the overall one winner to give them the power, because I was wondering how they would have done it if each of the, based on the power structure, that made sense that it was just the one winner. I don't know. I was okay with it. I really was. I was okay with it.
I'm nitpicking. I agree. And when I first saw it, I was like, oh, I like this. It's full circle. Maybe the checkpoints will be some of the like challenges along the way. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I like this little theme. But then as I was watching it, I fast forwarded through some of the girls. to be honest, like, I was like, mm-hmm, I get it. I've seen this now for the fourth time. I'm being so negative. I really... When you're high in an episode, I almost go low and vice versa, because it's just, what am I going to sit here and agree?
I mean, the one thing that I do question is, all right, let's say someone else wins and they steal someone's partner. Now, obviously, in the next checkpoint, you see that people start going based off the times. So how would that have played in?
Interesting. Like, didn't they do some voiceover of like some average? Maybe they would do the average of their times. Maybe the winner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so yeah, that makes. Oh, yeah. So it was each individual person's team time in the partnership averaged together.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. So that's how they would have done it. Okay.
But I think Amber B, They went to commercial on us, but like we all knew it's not an Amber Bee's game style. I mean, I know she switched, but like I had no doubt she was going to stick with CT.
Yeah, no doubt, especially with how well they both were doing at the time. Yeah, there was no doubt. I don't know. Like, I mean, who would have even swapped in that point? I guess that could have been the spot for Leroy or Cam to pull the swap and go with each other. But I don't know anyone who's making the swap in the final like that.
Yeah, I mean, Robbie just wants to start shit between us. Said if Leroy won the challenge, would he have switched partners? Would Nani have been pissed if he did?
Yeah, so I guess he would be one of the more like, I guess CT might have been, but like I don't think he would have swapped with how poorly him and Cam seemingly worked together. So I don't think Leroy would swap, but he would be the most likely to, because that would just be real gut punch to Nani there.
Again, I just have to believe, like, yeah, she might be a little upset in this moment. Just again, like, this stinks. But at the end of the day, you're going to an extremely strong person. Like, okay, if you move from Leroy to Corey, he's still a fun person to run with. He's still encouraging. He's not going to yell at her. Like, it's not like sending her to the wolves. And I do think he could have made the right respectful speech to say, like, I have to take the opportunity to run with my girl, like, whatever. CT, now that you mention it, I think he definitely switches, because he was doing the same thing to Amber as he did to Big T, which was great. Like, it's good strategy to say, like, you're going to be a great runner. You're in the best position. You're great. I'll do everything, but like, you can run and that's amazing. And he was like gassing her up, but I'm not quite sure if the rickety partnership between Cam and CT was like super real, or it was like Cam giving great confessionals, right? Like, if we don't really know from CT's perspective, he wasn't like really, he was happy to be back with Big T, but again, that's all in storytelling confessionals,
right? Yeah, if they stuck together, maybe that wouldn't have been as played out. But yeah, the fact that they separated so quickly and then that storyline really didn't go anywhere, I guess you can harp on that a little bit more since they were going their separate ways anyway.
The only less interesting pairing to would have been if Casey and or Fessy won. At least,
oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like they were not switching. Amber B was like almost not even close to switching. And then everybody else would have been some into Corey, definitely not.
Yeah, Corey, Nani, definitely not. Yeah. Yep, for sure.
So then does that like, do the fact that we just ruled out that almost anyone would switch, right? Like, I think you had said this, like they like to have the theme carry through the final and pay off in the final. But does that sort of neuter it? I've said neuter like six times in the last week, and I don't know why I keep saying that. But anyway, does it neuter it at all if like we know basically that almost nobody would switch?
No, I mean, because I mean, we kind of talked about a couple of people that would. So I think it could go down that way. And again, I think it just goes to like the balancedness of the people in this final eight, that there really is no bad, horrible partner. There's no dominant one person that you want to be with. So I think in this situation, you probably weren't going to get a switch. That was just because of the people left. I do wonder if they could have even made it like even more of an advantage, where it's not only could you swap, but can you force another swap? That could have been an interesting twist to kind of toss in. Cause I mean, I guess if you want to nitpick, like this big advantage, like it ended up just being nothing because she didn't take it, and a lot of people wouldn't. So I wonder if they could have even made it even a bigger thing.
Let's talk about the team dynamics now that we know more or less. I mean, I think more than less that these are the teams. How did you think about, like, let's put up a team and talk about how they were working together?
So we can start with our team, the winners of the season, Leroy and Nani.
Feel that cool breeze going over your bald head.
And I did, just to reemphasize how poorly this has gone, Emily did text me. She goes, head shave, huh? Laugh, cry emoji. You're going to be like Marshall at his wedding day with the hat. So this is not going very well at all. So this is now a thing. So yeah. But Leroy was great. He's exactly how you expect him to be with Nani, as encouraging as possible. Worried about Nani feeling as much guilt as she is early on. That's not the best sign, where she's already talking about, I don't want to be the reason why I take this away from Leroy. But Leroy's doing everything he can right now, which, you know, you love to say.
I almost can't believe how well Leroy is keeping it together. Like, he could go, he could dial it up 50% stress, sadness, and anger at Nani, and I wouldn't even come close to faulting him. Like, he is just so kind, such a loyal partner. I mean, you've seen me pop off for much less, like, than $900,000 and the pride more than anything. I'm just so impressed with Leroy here. And I don't find myself mad at Nani because I know they're going to win. So it's fine.
Right. No, but I think it's important for, like, you have to know your partner. You have to know if you could push them or not. And I think if Leroy, even if you dial it up a little bit more, I think if you push Nani in any, like, negative sense, like, that's, like, you need to be positive with her, especially in a final theft situation. So I think he's playing it. He has to play it like this. Otherwise, I think Nani gets in her head and things can go south even worse.
Oh, absolutely. And it's the advantage of really knowing your partner, right, for a decade. It's the experience where, okay, let's talk about Fessy and Casey, the complete opposite team, where even though they're, like, best friends, they've only known each other a couple of years and in sort of the reality TV space. And he's gassing her out for no reason. So not only does he lack experience in terms of strategy generally to, like, gas himself out or you know, whatever, the fact that none of this is going to, like, they're not going to come in last. All they have to do is not come in last. So why is he pushing her so hard and gasses her out completely? And I love the edit basically is not making it look like a fall of Casey, who's supposed to be the best female athlete in the house, but it's the fall of Fessy somehow.
Yeah, these last few weeks, they are really, really leaving Fessy out to dry. Even here, you get, you know, a confessional of Nani, like, throwing Fessy under the bus with Casey. I mean, he did a pretty good job of it himself, but also, like, piling on when Casey's there hurt and, like, piling on Fessy being, like, just not about you, bro. Like, you know, show some compassion. They didn't have to add that in. They're just, like, beating us down over the fact that Fessy is this horrific partner and someone that you don't want to be with, you can't be with in any type of situation, or he will bring you down with him.
And I thought, look, we'll talk about the eating when we get to it, but, like, for Fessy, I thought he handled basically feeling like he was getting pulled from the game reasonably well. I think any of the other men, maybe save CT, I'm not sure, would have handled it much better. But I don't think Fessy was so egregious. Like, I almost want to just, like, have a microscope, like, have the confessionals in our microscope and be like, are we really just trying to make Fessy Jordan? Like, why? He's not cursing. He's saying, he's not being so encouraging, but he is saying, like, it's okay. You're good. Like, I'm not mad.
Yeah, it's tough, obviously, with the magic of editing in the confessionals, but it's tough for his first thought. At least, I mean, again, how the show presents it, his first confessional is, I don't know how to feel. I'm not angry. It's like, yeah, no shit. You shouldn't be angry. Casey is in agony on the ground in pain, devastated, and your first thought is, I'm not angry. Like, if you were angry, you'd be, like, the biggest piece of shit in the history of the world. So of course you shouldn't be angry.
But why can't you be angry? Not necessarily at her, right? But, like, we obviously know he was gonna lose because we've willed it into existence that he was gonna lose, but right. He believes, no one believes in themselves more than Casey and Fessy. Like, they were so certain to the point where it was revolting, but they were so certain they were going to win. And Fessy once again feels like, and this is annoying, right? It's like the chip on Fessy's shoulder. He once again has somebody else to blame for why the opportunity was ripped away from him. But I wouldn't blame someone who cares about the challenge, like, being angry about it. Again, the show we're watching, he's to blame for it, presumably, for pushing her too hard. That's the story, and I'm inclined to believe it. But I'd be angry.
You could be angry, but, like, they're supposed to be, like, these really close. If my close friend is, like, she is, like, this isn't, like, oh, like, you know, she's, like, sick. She's, like, throwing, like, she is in agony on her knee on the ground. Like,
yeah.
I feel like your first thought as a good friend of hers, there's in some random partnership they're now tossed together. Like, they sought out to be together. They're really close, seemingly really close friends. And to see her like that, and you're like, it just didn't, like, if for me, if that was my friend, that would be a much different thought process and just actions going on. If for me, I don't know. That's how I, like, you just have to just be a better friend in that situation.
You're 100% right. And for me, that was when he's like sitting on the stone. He's not even next to her. She's crying out for him and he's just like sitting there pouting. I totally agree. I just am like trying to be more. I'm just like trying to be like, the confessionals they're giving him are horrific, but I'm not seeing the best, but I'm not seeing what I imagine like a Zach would do. You know, but yeah, so he'd be on the ground, but
yeah, Zach would toss her off the cliff and just say, I'll just run it by myself.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But all right, let's talk about Cam and Corey. Kind of a quiet episode for them.
Yeah, very quiet. We didn't get a sense really at all. They're kind of just, you know, doing their thing. I think they were second pretty much in every thing, right behind CT and Amber. So they're right there. They no real squabbles. The most squabble they had was, you know, Cam doesn't want to hear what the food they're eating. Just let me focus on, you know, pretending it's a gourmet meal. But other than that, they work pretty well together. Easy going people. Seem like no real issues, no real struggles, no real triumphs, no nothing right now.
And then anything more to say about CT and Amber?
Other than it just, you know, Leroy said it best, like this is why you don't put CT in a final. You know, he's won three of them. I mean, he's, if the running is going to be fairly even amongst all the teams, like CT is very good at these puzzles, at these, the eating, at all these different checkpoints. And it's, I can't believe, at least for myself, I'm very stupid to underestimate them as much as I did, because they're ripping through this.
And look, I mean, this kind of goes to why, like, Anissa is a dominant elimination competitor and is not dominant in things that help you for the final, right? Like, it's that balance of, does Amber B have what it takes to be dominant in dailies and in elimination? I mean, she was dominant in eliminations, but I think if she went against Cam,
yep,
you know, whatever. Yep. I don't know, right? Like, we need more remains to be seen, but that's not what we saw this season. But she seemingly has a tremendous skill set for a final. And that's sort of what the drum that Johnny Langan has been pounding, and several other listeners. We saw you, and we appreciated it, and we ignored you. And now we have egg on our face next to the clown makeup. But I think that's going to be something that Amber B is going to have to deal with, because she's going to establish herself as a threat in the final, but maybe less of a threat in an elimination. And that's someone you'd want to take out early. So I think it's great for her. Like, I think this performance alone justifies her coming back immediately to me. Yep. And I still would pick her probably low in a winner's draft, because I would think that people are going to be looking to get her out now based on this performance.
Yeah, but the one thing she would have going for her is the fact that she's not like a big personality, and the fact that she's not going to cause issues. She's not going to cause herself a reason to get thrown in because of like any of her actions or causing a fight. She seemingly seems like a more mellow person, that if she's going to get thrown in, people are going to deliberately have to go after her. And people always make themselves a target for one way or another, that even if you think going in, okay, let's get Amber out, she's, you know, we don't want her to get too close to a final because she could win, people make themselves enough targets throughout a season that she can skate by again, because she's just not going to make herself a target. So if you could just be like that, you know, B-ish daily competitor, C+, B- competitor on a daily, and have an easygoing personality, and then an A competitor for a final, that's like primo spot as for a winner possibility.
I think you're making a lot of great points. I think the thing that runs contradictory to it is what happened this season, right? Is like, she did end up making herself a target because she like snaked her alliance. People didn't trust her. She was loyal to Big Brother sort of blindly. But on the flip side, like, being in the CBS Big Brother alliance is going to help you stay alive. And maybe, yeah, if she learned that this Big Brother gameplay maybe doesn't apply the same way in the challenge that she could apply what you're saying. But I also could see them being like, you know, a millionaire Mitchell saying she wants Amber, or, you know, still being underestimated sufficiently that she gets put in, or she gets put in as someone who maybe can take out, who's expendable to the alliance, like mm-hmm. Casey and Fessy treated her unfairly. And maybe could take out like a top dog. On the flippity flop, kudos to Amber B for really keeping her cards close to the vest and complaining the confessionals about Fessy, but like Casey's still my girl, like sort of looking ahead, like she still seems willing mm-hmm. to work with them, and I think that's the smartest thing for her game.
Yeah, absolutely. She knows the track is going against Fessy, and you can get back on Casey's good side, and that's probably the path to go, because there's going to be a lot of people anti-Fessy, so you don't want to be necessarily too attached to him going into another season.
Let's talk about Checkpoint 2. The Vomtage.
Yeah, this is, you know, the old food eating contest. And Corey's queued up the vomiting fest. So that's always, you know, that's fun.
This I loved. I hated the vomiting, but there's something so fun and playful about a bright red stein of blood. Like, that killed me. Just the delivery. They've done this kind of thing before, but the delivery, like it's a beer stein, is hilarious to me. I've also been watching a ton of these YouTube comedians, Rhett and Link, who I did not know before quarantine, and I have now watched basically their full, like, 18 season archives.
Wow.
And they eat a lot of gross shit, so I think I've been desensitized.
So, over the years, the food, the qualifications for the food has changed, and now it seems like you don't even have to really attempt to get any of this food down, as long as you're, if it goes in your mouth, that now counts. I feel like they should almost tone down the amount and the grotesqueness of it, and force you to eat it, because that is much more challenging, and it just... None of this is good TV, but like I feel like better TV, and then just, you know, an immense amount of just puking.
Yeah, they love the vomtage, though. And that's the thing they're choosing over, like, the quality of the episode. I agree. Or some people like that as the episode, but I agree. Like, you used to be able to have to, like, you basically used to have to, like, eat your vomit if you vomited. Like, you had to keep it down or you were out. And the fact that they're just, like, spurting literally into buckets is... insane. Has the food gotten worse, though? I almost feel like the food has gotten worse.
I think so. I mean, I can't imagine it's ever been good to any degree. So it's hard to necessarily compare, but it seems like it's gotten worse. I don't know. What was this one they were eating? It was like sheep's neck or something. I don't know. Some sheep something. And the picture of blood, which I assume wasn't blood, but who the hell knows?
Rhett and Link have consumed pig blood. But it's black, so I don't know what this red stuff was. If it's like dyed, maybe it's not blood. Maybe I'm just like too into the YouTube.
Yeah, there was some testicles, because Leroy is very familiar with that. but yeah, it was a lot.
I think, what did Jenna and Jay gas out on? Like a fish smoothie? Like, when you think back to some of it, it's like, all right, that was like food. And don't at me. Like, I know there was some like gross stuff, but I think the food's gotten much worse.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that maybe that was why they were stricter on them back in the day. Like, all right, come on, like, just drink this. Now it's like, all right, we're not actually going to make them, you know, chew and swallow this whole platter of food.
Here's me. Leroy and Nani show up third, and I'm like, here comes experience, baby, show these new people how it's done besides CT. And then it's like Nani like hurling on the ground next to Amber B, and I'm like, okay, we said it's okay, just don't be last.
Yep.
But all right, let's talk about the Casey and Fessy of it all at this checkpoint.
Yeah, so right before this is when Casey misses a step or something, and her knee just completely gives out. She's on the ground, and we've talked about this now for a few seasons, but the challenge, I don't know what the medical situation is on the challenge. You would think like this would be, you know, the people on Survivor, like that's very serious with the heat and dehydration and all that, but you would think for the challenge, like they would have the top people, because they're like, you know, it doesn't take much for things to go wrong and people to get seriously hurt. I mean, this girl, she can't not walk. Her leg is like going sideways, like she's in The Walking Dead. And they are not pulling her from. I'm sitting there being like, how is this person still allowed to compete? You got Kyle with like a broken finger and they're pulling him out. Casey is going to lose a leg in a final. And they're like, just keep going. You're good.
Very strange. And I don't know if this is going to be the last checkpoint. So they know she's not going to have to run anymore anyway. Like, I don't understand the logic there at all.
Is this possible? I know, like, it seems like the producers really hate Fessy. Like, and apparently it's well known that Fessy doesn't like food, because that's like how Leroy was talking about it. Were this all just a giant setup just to make Fessy look like a complete asshole and not want to do the food?
So, okay, let's talk about this. I vaguely recall from Big Brother that Fessy is, I think, Muslim, and he had like a hamogram or something, and he had to eat ham, but he was like in the DR, like, I don't eat ham. This is like vegan ham or something.
Yep. That sounds right.
So, and he did the same thing with Anissa, where he like threw the eating challenge. I don't know what kind of I don't know if they like, it can't be like halal organs, right? Like, I have no idea. I don't know enough. And I certainly don't know enough about Fessy's personal practices, but I just wanted to flag it because as I was writing, like, oh, Fessy's so weak, he has no heart. Like, I was like, oh, maybe he is like, I don't need to eat this when it's not like my practice, when I'm not going to win. You know, maybe there is something more. I don't know. And I would defer to Fessy if he's going to comment on it, but I just, the flagging from Big Brother, and you can at me if this is wrong. I want to hear about it.
No, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. And you would hope, I mean, you would hope the challenge would try to like work around that. I mean, you could eat, I feel like there's plenty of like other gross food that you could eat that like would accommodate that type of situation. So maybe just like get the food that everyone can eat. I don't know. But you would hope the challenge would try to make that not be like such a big personal decision someone is forced to make.
I agree. So again, like, I don't know. I just remember that because I also don't eat pork. So I remember that like ham thing stuck out to me. But, you know, YOLO. All right. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so CT and Amber win this one as well. And then they get the cliffhanger decision of who are they giving dessert to?
Oh, yeah. So I guess this isn't. So that would just add the time, right? Because we're still adding time. So this could still be the last checkpoint is what I'm asking.
Yeah, so now I don't know, because this one, after they kind of all reset, they were released in separate time spots, like whoever, like the first, second. So does that now reset the board, or now is everyone back to being even, or are they still accumulating time, still accumulating finishes? Like, yeah, it is still uncertain, like, how it's being determined that someone's being eliminated.
I think that, like, yeah, now we're caught up, but it's based on the time you finished eating. So if you get another plate, it's not just like you have that in your belly. It's like the time that you spent eating it, because they're done, but people still have food. And now it's like the negotiation of Cam and Leroy trying to convince them to give it to Fessy and Casey. There's no world where that's happening, right?
No, I mean, you give it to Cam and Corey here, right? I feel like there's not even a decision really to be, like, this feels like the easiest decision you can make.
Yeah, I agree with you completely.
But it's also not even much, so they're just eating more. So that just,
but
so
it's
just
time.
For discomfort?
No, it's,
is
it's
it time,
the time
or is it just discomfort?
No, it's the time. It's the
I
time.
Thought it just over.
No. So it did seem over, but they all still had food. So it was like, who's going to get more? My interpretation of it. Like, I agree. But then I saw Leroy still had something in his hand. Or they all fit. No, because Fessy and Casey didn't finish. So they would already be like disqualified. Or is there a time penalty if you don't eat it?
We don't know. I thought it was just whoever finishes first wins. And then that's it.
Then there's absolutely no reason for Fessy to eat the food. Zero. Like, I thought Fessy, like, that's why. Then Casey's just, you know what, good for her. She's a good sport. But, like, there should be no reason to eat then. I thought he wasn't eating because they're going to suck in the challenge because she can't walk. But if they're just, like, eating to catch up with CT, there's no world.
Maybe. Yeah, they definitely didn't 100% specify exactly.
Then no one would
still
eat.
Eating. Is the time still running?
It's definitely time because nobody would eat, right? It's like, you're not going to beat CT. They were the first to arrive and he's like a garbage can. So yeah. Don't eat if that's the only, if the only penalty is like, you might have to eat another plate of one plate of food. Why eat?
Yeah. I mean, unless Amber struggles, I think they had to eat their own
and
food,
they wouldn't so even care. Well, no, you see Leroy drinking Nani's blood after the time, like in the preview or whatever. Like Leroy grabs the stein. It's got to be time. So it's got to be time.
Food. It's got. I would think so, but they definitely didn't clearly specify.
No,
that.
They didn't.
Or I'm just an idiot.
No, they did. I agree. It sort of fell over, and then they're adding food, but then also like, why beg so much to not get the food if the time doesn't matter? Like, because you don't want to eat it. It wasn't that much.
Right.
I don't know. All right. I think that kind of takes us to the end here. We have some questions, but anything else to cover from the episode?
Just the prizes. So it's 900K for first, 100K for second, nothing for third. I'm glad second place gets something. I hate when they just do winner take all. That's good. That's it.
I agree with you on that. Caitlin Glancy, you know, talking about how this is Leroy's last season. Caitlin Glancy says, will we see Leroy in All-Stars in a few years?
I mean, look, I want to believe Leroy, but I would say there's a chance we see Leroy on the challenge in a few years. These retirements don't really stick. So, you know, sure. All-Stars and regular.
I think Leroy would be a very good, like, All-Stars would be a very good fit for Leroy. I mean, I'd be happy to see him come out of retirement, but presuming that he like really wants to be retired, he can come collect a paycheck. I'd love to see him mixing it up with the olds. And I think he'd perform exceptionally well, obviously, like the people who have been playing more recently, like have a huge advantage. So I love that for him.
Yep.
Elaine says, not a question, but a official aftermath confirmation that Fessy has in fact never watched the challenge before and had no idea of CT's storied history and legendary prowess. Didn't even watch clips until coming off the last season. I don't understand that at all.
Disappointing.
Matt and Murray both asked, I'm reading Murray's question, but Matt also asked it. And I get added about this all the time. We get DMs about this all the time. First time viewer and listener, I'm enjoying the season and the podcast a lot. I'd give the season high marks. I'm enjoying the characters. I'm enjoying the challenges. I'm enjoying the drama. You guys seem to be finding the season to be average, I guess. Slightly better than average. So what's the best season to watch? Don't give it a lot of thought. Shoot from the hip. Gun to your head. Well, I don't like that. What season do I watch next?
So in terms of just overall enjoyment, the two seasons that I would always point to are Free Agents and The First Rivals, just for pure enjoyment. But the problem with those is they're now, those are kind of like, they're not as relevant to the chat. There's not that many people on those seasons that are now on this current one or future one. So you really just really start like with wherever the first one of the trilogy was that War of the Worlds. Like if you just watch that trilogy, like that would get you caught up to challenge proper pretty easily. But for enjoyment purposes, Free Agents and Rivals for me would be the choices.
We are both extremely high on Free Agents, and I don't know if that has anything to do with we started podcasting then, if that was like the peak of our fandoms where it's like, yeah, I don't know, or it's just a good season, because I also say that a lot. I feel like we're both aligned there. I feel like I've had this debate all the time. People slide in. I have no idea what to tell you. Like, there's so many different factors. I think Brian, I did give him a heads up we'd be asking this question. I myself did not prepare despite doing that. I think, like, look, I almost think you go to Dirty 30 even. Let's say, which is season 30. Oh, so you're saying Final Reckoning season 32 is where someone should start.
I think so.
But that's
like that's where a lot of the British people really come on. And that's really where you get a lot of the new blood that's really kind of taken over here.
So that's right. Okay, fine. If you want the history, 32, that's manageable. That's, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 seasons to catch up on. But in terms of like peak seasons, I still really enjoy the show despite this episode, but like some of the stuff I think you want to go back and enjoy. It was a different show, you know, like things were different. Mm-hmm. There was more drama. There was more partying. People were like less serious professional athletes. And I think even though, you know, on free agents, like you have some incredible athleticism there too, but like go back and like splash around in the old seasons, because it's going to be sort of a different show. And yeah, it won't be relevant to your enjoyment now, but I'm actually going to hot take, go back and watch some when the season ends, because it's been decades since I've watched these, you know, it's been years. Mm-hmm. And it's fun. Like even watching the clips where like for All Stars, that's like getting me back into how fun these older seasons are. And now that they're all available. So that I think I agree with Brian that the official answer is begin at 32 if you want the history. But if you want the fun, honestly, anything between like, I mean, I still even like Fresh Meat 1. That's like very old school. Yeah. That's no, like a standout for me. Fresh Meat. Free Agents is a standout to me. The advantage of Fresh Meat is half the season are new people. So you're not missing like crazy history and they know that. So hopefully that was helpful. I'm never helpful when people at me about this.
And I think the challenge, even more so than almost any other, maybe like Big Brother or something like that, but I think the challenge really plays well in a binge, where some other like shows like Survivor or something like that, where you more so like, I know I should say this as a person doing a challenge podcast, but I think that for Survivor, you really do get more out of like the week to week discussion around it, where the challenge, like if you just watch them all, they really just blend together, I feel like, much better. So even some of the ones that we felt like go on forever, I think if you watch it in a binge, it'll play much better.
Well, I'm a famous reform binger, where like when I started before the podcast, that's how I watched it. I'd record five episodes, catch up, record five episodes. Yep. Like I, you know, catch up on a Sunday, 5 weeks in, watch it in a binge. Obviously, for the last 7 years, I've been watching it not like that. And I enjoy this also and the discussion we have around it. But yeah, I originated as a challenge binger. So I'm excited to be going back, not in any sort of like crazy Matt Lagori way, but you know, I'm going to pick and choose. And then I'll let people know. Like, then I'll be like, oh, yeah, that was good or not. But I can't just, like, pull back and remember, you know, 2000.
Yeah, do a dabble. Bounce around. But before you know,
I'm getting old. I'm going to be old in an hour and 9 minutes.
That's true. All right, let's get to a drinking game. Shout out to Kyle Bacardi. We had 23 for the week. There were 12 subtitles. One eating, I guess. Just the entire challenge. We got one eating, two checkpoints along the way, one lacking self-awareness, Fessy thinking that Amber would steal him back, three Amber Bees, and four I Love Yous, all between a couple between Leroy and Nani, and then a couple between Leroy and Cam. This
man's got a lot of love to give.
Yep, a lot of love between his two girls. You want to add any for the part two final?
Let's do any time you have to like go back or you don't know what CT said. Not subtitles. I find myself rewinding every time he's like, checkpoint one, let's get it. And I thought he said something else. I went back. Anytime CT has sort of like the, let me start again. When I had to get there, but now I got there. When CT has like a, not pinnacle. I'm like, Brian, what's the word? Like a perfect, exemplary Boston moment.
Okay.
CT is the Boston icon that he is. You know I'm carrying that one over to the next CT season because we're not going to get enough of that for me.
No. I will add anytime someone has to make a decision next week, any decision that has to be made.
So does Kyle take a drink every time he decides that somebody took a drink? I don't know. Yes. That's on him. Yes. Drink responsibly. Yeah, don't drink. Do your thing. Beep, beep. Here come the DDs, Kate, Stuart, and Matt. Obviously, everything is the same. Although Kate does say, oh, my God, if you are all watching, if you all are watching with commercials, please talk about Match Me if you can. Yeah, of course we can't avoid watching it. It's going to be during the commercials,
which is crazy.
We will talk about Match Me If You Can. Match Me If You Can is a dating show, sort of in the style of Are You the One? We're not really sure. With contestants from The Challenge, from Are You the One, from some other shows. And it's eight people. It is complete SponCon. It is totally sponsored by Pepsi. We will determine how real it is. Like, we don't really know. And it's on YouTube. So, you know, we'll tack it on. So the litany of other shit we talk about.
It's a tack on.
We'll be there. What'd you say?
It'll be interesting with Millionaire Mitchell.
I feel like I'm known for interrupting, but the tech issues I'm having today, spare me on this. That's like, I start talking, I hear Brian, I'm like, God damn it. Yeah, no Millionaire worries. Mitchell, Natalie from The Challenge and Big Brother, someone from the Are You the One season 7. I don't have it in front of me, so don't at me. I don't want to be wrong again.
One of the guys from Two Out the End, though, that show's making its rounds right now. It's having a moment. Being the circle, this thing.
People love it. Back. Love it. No circle spoilers. I haven't been able to watch it. Should we tack that on too? Oops. No, I'm just kidding. We have some interesting facts from the team. Amber B is the only player remaining on my team and the only person that ended in the negative for me. And she was the first person picked by me. And apparently wow. I was oscillating between Amber M and Amber B, and I'd be completely shut out if I had picked Amber M.
What a performance by you, picking the losers.
Well, no, I mean, I failed to pick the losingest Amber.
I know, but you, overall, it was very strong showing.
Yeah. So that's just a highlight there. Some more stats we'll share next week. But other than that, I think that's it. We go into the finale same way we went in. We continue through the finale yes. The same way we went in.
So do you think Casey continues, or are they cut once we get back to doing anything?
I think she's gone.
I think she has to be. Which then I guess we really, once again, I feel like MTV just must be like kicking themselves. They must be so pissed about how much bad luck they've had between so many different stuff. So I hope for her sake she leaves, but I'm sure they're really pissed that they're not going to get a real elimination, which is a bummer.
Yeah. I mean, they basically, the edit is such that like Fessy can't win. So I feel like they got to be going. And and like Casey has so much heart. I don't want to see her hobble the whole way through with like Fessy with like a sour face.
No, that would suck. That would suck. All right, so we'll wrap it up next week. It is the conclusion. You can follow me on Twitter at Cohen with a C, Brian with I _, and follow you
at Lash Tweets.
Subscribe robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Until next week, prayer circles for Leroy Nani and my hair. Till then. Have a good one.